Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Hardtack and Coffee. This is a show talking about events and little-known facts of the American Civil War. I am your host, Matthew Adams, and I am pleased to start off this show. This is the very first show for this new program. And I want to start off with a little bit of background. My family and I, we live here in the eastern part of the United States, North Carolina exactly, and I currently hold a bachelor's in history with concentration in United States history from American Public University, and I also hold a master's in military history with concentration in the American Civil War from American Military University. This show is meant to be sort of like a refresher course for high school history and for college courses, and just to give people a little more understanding of how to understand and interpret the Civil War, and to give a closer feeling to the war, not just talking about major battles or anything like that. It is really truthfully showing that the little known facts of the war, things that people will go, that's interesting. Not the boring statistics and the boring narratives of the war, but actually know about and people don't ponder about. And this show will be discussing the role of James J. Pettigrew during the Battle of Gettysburg. Now, Pettigrew gained a little bit of fame in the Ted Turner film Gettysburg when he had a few moments of introducing himself to General James Longstreet in the movie. But there was more to Pettigrew than that. At the beginning of the Civil War, Pettigrew was not a professional soldier. He was actually a scholar. He graduated from the University of North Carolina at the age of 18 with the highest grades ever recorded there at that present time. He did serve under presidential staff under James Polk. He traveled extensively in Europe for most of his life, but he was also a student of military history as well. He studied under many French officers to study tactics. He was well-learned and well-read in many factors of life. And at the beginning of the war, he was an aide to South Carolina Governor Francis Pickens, and he was also present when the Beauregard bombarded Fort Sumter in April of 1861. Well, that was where his career sprung forward, and only a few months later, he became colonel of the 22nd North Carolina Regiment and was stationed in Virginia. Well, during that time, many of his friends, knowing that he was highly gifted in intelligence, petitioned for him to become a general in the Confederate Army. Even Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederate States of America, interviewed Pettigrew to promote him to general, but Pettigrew was very staunch and said that, you know, why should you promote me when I've never led troops in combat? You should promote other people who have more military experience. He was not self-centered. He was very humble and serviceable. He did not want to have any confrontation. Well, he eventually got promoted to Brigadier General in February of 1862, and he commanded a brigade at the Battle of Seven Pines, where he was severely wounded. They feared that he was actually dead, but he was captured by Union troops, nursed back to health, and was exchanged and returned to Confederate service, where he took command of a brigade of North Carolinians in North Carolina. Well, during his tenure as brigade commander in North Carolina, he participated in many skirmishes during Daniel Harvey Hill's North Carolina expedition in the winter of 1862 and 63. He attempted to recapture the city of New Bern, but was halted at a skirmish outside the city when he was not being supported by other troops in the area. And then after that, he was transferred to the Army of Northern Virginia when Lee was planning his second invasion of the North during the spring and summer of 1863. Well, Pettigrew was attached to a brand new division under the command of Major General Henry Heath, and Heath's division was attached to A.P. Hill's brand new 3rd Army Corps. Well, on the march to the now infamous town of Gettysburg, Pettigrew was first in line of Heath's division and Hill's corps. And there was a rumor, as everyone knows about the Battle of Gettysburg being started over shoes, there was a rumor that there was a supply of shoes in the town of Gettysburg, and many of the Confederates who were barefoot needed those shoes. Well, on June 30th, 1863, Pettigrew was ordered to take his brigade to raid the town and requisition shoes. However, on reaching the outskirts of town, he started noticing that there was a disturbance in the town. General Hill and General Heath reported that there was only Pennsylvania militia, untrained militia troops inside the town, and that Pettigrew was just to simply brush them aside and take the town and the shoes. Well, instead of it being Pennsylvania militia, Union cavalry under General John Buford had already taken possession of the town and was preparing to make a stand against any Confederate soldiers entering the town. Well, Pettigrew had remembered that General Lee had ordered all troop commanders not to engage the enemy until the entire army was concentrated somewhere in Pennsylvania. And the army had not yet been concentrated. It was in preparations of concentrating near Cashtown. Well, Pettigrew withdrew his forces to a small ridge outside of town called Hurr's Ridge, and Pettigrew and his staff rode back to Cashtown to meet with General Heath and report his findings. Well, it just so happened that General Hill was also in Cashtown meeting with Heath, and Pettigrew reported sighting a federal cavalry, not militia, in Gettysburg. Well, Heath and Hill were both West Point graduates, and Pettigrew was not a military professional. He was simply a scholar. So Hill and Heath both ignored his report, saying that it was impossible for Union cavalry to be in Gettysburg since they were not nowhere near Pennsylvania. They were actually still believing that General Joseph Hooker's army was still in Virginia. But Pettigrew knew what he had seen, but he was not in the position to fight the argument because he was only a brigadier general. So, on July 1st, since Pettigrew, they saw that Pettigrew was kind of scared of Pennsylvania militia, so to speak, he was put behind another brigade of Archer's 10th Alabamians. Well, when Archer's men reached Gettysburg, they did find federal cavalry, and the battle soon started between the federal cavalry and Confederate forces. Well, once the battle began, General Lee and General Hill committed the troops that were in the area to converge on Gettysburg and drive the Federals out before Union infantry could arrive. Well, once Pettigrew's men were involved in the fight, the Union's 1st Army Corps under Major General John Reynolds had already arrived on the scene and was already taking over positions held by the cavalry. Well, Pettigrew was ordered to take McPherson's Ridge right outside the town of Gettysburg. And on that ridge, they found the Union Iron Brigade of Westerners that were known to be hard fighters. They're also known as the Black Hat Brigade. Well, Pettigrew drove his men into the McPherson's Ridge in Herbert's Forest and were able to drive the Union Brigade out, however, with heavy losses on both sides. Pettigrew took 2,500 men into the battle, and after the first day had lost 1,100 of his 2,500 men. And one of the units, the infamous 26th North Carolina, lost the most of any Confederate regiment at the Gettysburg, and he was quoted to saying that the men covered themselves with glory during this fight. But Pettigrew's tenure as brigade commander had slowed down because during the attack, General Heath was wounded. So Pettigrew, being the most senior brigade commander in the division, took over the command when Heath was wounded. After the fight, Pettigrew had the task of trying to rebuild his division. And on the night of July 1st and all day of July 2nd, he was able to rebuild most of his forces. He did not see any action on July 2nd, but since his division had been rested on July 2nd, he was slated for an all-out assault on the federal center on Cemetery Hill, on July 3rd. Now, what has been known as Pickett's Charge throughout history was actually a combination of three brigades under General George Pickett General Isaac Trimble, and General James Pettigrew. Now, Pettigrew commanded over a third of the attacking force. And once the artillery bombardment was completed, Pettigrew marched alongside of Pickett's men. Trimble's was in reserve behind Pickett. Pettigrew was not trying to support Pickett, but they were in the same line attacking the same target. Now, General Pettigrew showed great personal bravery during the attack. He led his men on horseback and stayed very close with his division the entire attack, unlike General Pickett, who stayed a little bit further behind his division. So close was Pettigrew to the fighting that his horse was shot out from under him, and he was severely wounded in the hand, crushing some bones in his hand. And he led his men, what was left of his division, after they crossed the Emmitsburg Road. They almost breached a wall in front of a Rhode Island battery. And it's also reported by several people who witnessed the attack that Pettigrew was one of the last men to make it back to Confederate lines because he was wanting to make sure as many men as he carried into the fight was able to return back safely to his own lines. But Pettigrew, without missing a beat, made sure that his division was reformed by that night to prepare for a counterattack that never happened. But he made sure his men were ready to fight if the Union attacked again. Well, on the night of July 4th into the morning of July 5th, the Confederate Army started withdrawing from Gettysburg. Pettigrew resumed command of his brigade after General Heath was well enough to take back command of his division. Pettigrew led his men ably back to the Potomac River, but near Falling Waters, Maryland, Pettigrew and his men had to stop a Union cavalry attack that was trying to cut off Heath's division from the retreat across the Potomac River. In the melee on July 14, 1863, General Pettigrew was fighting a Union cavalry soldier one-on-one. They were both pointing their pistols at each other, but unfortunately, the Union cavalryman got his pistol off first and hit Pettigrew in the bowels, which was deemed mortally wounded. The Union cavalryman that actually wounded him was caught and was instantly killed by a soldier who had deep respect for Pettigrew. Pettigrew was ordered to stay behind and begin in Falling Waters because it was deemed that he was too seriously wounded to return to Virginia. However, he stated, "I would rather die than be captured again." Well, they did move him across the river. They found him in Bunker Hill, Virginia. And he was starting to get better. However, infection set into the wound. And on the morning of July 17th, he died. When he died, could not replace him effectively. It took almost 2 months before he was able to replace Pettigrew. And Lee was quoted as saying that he regarded Pettigrew as a brave and accomplished officer. Pettigrew was also respected and loved by his men and his officers that served under him. Now some may say that Pettigrew was not the most effective officer. However, his role at Gettysburg shows that he was a blooming officer in the Confederate Army in Northern Virginia. If he had survived, he could have been an effective division commander because of Lee's dramatic losses from after Gettysburg to Appomattox. Pettigrew could have stopped the Battle of Gettysburg because of his sighting of Federal cavalry and knowing the order that he should not attack Federal troops. Now, Pettigrew has been a long-forgotten Confederate commander at Gettysburg. However, there was much to his character and much to his personal bravery at Gettysburg that he deserves much more credit than due deserved. If you have enjoyed this show today, we are planning on doing these shows every Monday at 11:30, and next week we'll have another show, and I will post the topic of that show this week, and I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope you enjoy future shows. Y'all have a very great day, and remember, those who do not study history are bound to repeat it. Thank you all, and have a great day.